Dave and Darren in the morning, Planet 93.9. We are about to drop on you our top five things. Like Galileo dropped the orange.
Isn't that great? That's just marvelous.
You can listen to our show weekday mornings 5:30 to 10 on Planet 93.9, planet93.9.com, also the mobile app. There are all kinds of different options for you to listen to it live.
We're everywhere.
Yes. Yeah, on your FM radio, for crying out loud. Let's get into the top five things that we feel we've gotten done recently. Yes?
Okay.
And we'll begin with number one.
One.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one. And this should be obvious.
Okay, number one.
Number one.
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 One. Number one.
81-year-old Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cover model Martha Stewart is in the news. I guess she's not the greatest person to work for. Does this shock you?
Not really.
She says she's not a fan of the hybrid work schedule, where you split up the days where you're required to come into the office rather than working from home. She says here...
This is someone who works from a kitchen.
That kitchen's a set, though, at a studio. That's not really her kitchen. Although I guess sometimes it is.
She tries to make you believe she works in a kitchen.
81-year-old mogul telling Footwear News, quote...
Yes, Footwear News, is that a quarterly or what is that?
Footwear News.
Which channel is that? Where do I get Footwear News? Does that come with my Samsung Smart TV?
Footwear News. When news about footwear breaks, you'll hear about it first on Footwear News. She does not like the idea of a hybrid work schedule. Quote, you can't possibly get everything done working 3 days a week in the office and 2 days remotely. Look at the success of France with their stupid, you know, off for August, blah, blah, blah. That's not a very thriving country. Should America go down the drain because people don't want to go back to work? All right, Grandma.
Yeah, that's easy for you to say.
Relax. She says that even during the pandemic, she continued to work 5 days a week. She spoke more about work during the pandemic in an interview with Harper's Bazaar.
And what does work entail these days?
Just
bossing people around?
Making excellent food and having fine candles on the table, Darren. She says she had a concierge doctor come to the house twice a week to perform COVID-19 tests on everyone because she had 30 employees during the pandemic on site at her farm in Bedford, New York. None of you are going anywhere. You live here on the farm with me now.
You live here now.
She says, I will wash the floor if I have to wash the floor. I'll take the garbage out if no one else has taken the garbage. The CEO should be available to everyone at all times if possible. She also says that goes two ways. If she's going to be available at all times, you as an employee should be available to work all times, even on the weekend. She explained that one time she called a new employee on a Sunday. The new employee told Martha Stewart he was taking a bath and couldn't talk to her.
Hey, splish splash.
I'm in the bathtub. The phone's ringing. I'm going to answer it to let you know that I can't talk. I'm in the bathtub right now.
And why is he taking a bath on a Saturday night?
Sunday. It's a Sunday.
Is it a Sunday night?
Sunday afternoon, I guess.
No,
she called a new employee.
No, I'm talking about the song.
Oh, I don't know. You're talking about the oldies song, Splish Splash, I Was Taking a Bath.
All around a Saturday night.
You're right.
You ain't got much happening then, pal.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be one thing, Bobby Darin and the Fleetwoods, if you were to splish splash taking a bath on a Saturday afternoon to go out for a Saturday night.
Yeah, to get ready for Saturday night.
Yeah, what kind of weirdo just, that's the whole highlight of the weekend.
Sitting in the tub on Saturday night.
Just going to sit in some of my own Bobby Darin juice and just call it a weekend.
I'm going to open my wrists.
Well, that song got dark in a hurry.
It did, because I got nowhere to be. Take
one.
One, two, three. Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. Long about a Saturday night. Yeah, rubbed up, just relaxing in the tub. Thinking
the tub, I put my feet on the floor. I wrap the towel around me and I open the door. And then a splish splash, I jump back in the bath. Well, how was I to know there was a party going on?
Wait a minute, wait.
How in the heck do you know a party's going on? It's your house.
So this guy is taking a bath on a Saturday night.
Yeah, and a party just breaks out?
Gets out of the tub. Goes walking around in a towel. There's a party going on in his house that he was not invited to. Even though the party's in his place. And he decides, rather than get dressed and join the party, back to the bathtub for me, I guess.
Get back in the bathtub.
You know, at some point, somebody's going to want to use the bathroom, yeah, Bobby Darin.
Probably the only one you have in the house.
Yes, it's the 50s. Well, this song doesn't make a lick of sense. I had no idea there was a party going on at my house.
At my house.
And a flash, reeling with the feeling, moving and a grooving, rolling and a strolling. Yeah.
You're doing all of that in the tub.
Yeah, this is problematic, this song.
So you're telling me that you're just rolling around down in the tub?
That's not a healthy response to whatever's going on.
It's just a few people getting together.
Yes.
And you clearly invited them at your house.
I understand being an introvert and not wanting to, you know, introduce yourself to a party, but taking a bath in the middle of it.
You're going to invite everyone over and then hide?
I don't think he invited them, though. That's the weirdest part.
Well, there was an evening there to a willa. Splish, splash, I forgot about the bath. I went and put my dancing shoes on, yay.
Nothing else.
So eventually he's dancing. Eventually he gets out and dances with everybody, just either wearing a towel or not. Puts his dancing shoes on.
But nothing else.
Yeah, that's messed up.
And then goes back to the tub and starts rolling around.
Like he's a seal. Like he's a manatee. Roll. So this guy that was working for Martha Stewart is in the bathtub, mm-hmm. And she calls on a Sunday.
Taking a bath there, boss.
He says, I can't work right now. I'm taking a bath. Which, let it go to voicemail then.
Yeah, don't answer it.
I don't want to talk to anybody if they're having a bath. What is that about? She says she knew once this guy answered the phone and said, I can't work right now. Because I'm in the bathtub.
I'm going to have to let him go.
She says, quote, I knew I couldn't work with that person. I just couldn't. If you can't talk on a Sunday and you take umbrage that I'm calling you on a Sunday, you know, if you're a terribly religious person, I take that in consideration. But I knew this guy was not a terribly religious person. It's exciting. Business is exciting. I want people to feel that way about business.
Oh, go cram it.
Are you a church? No! Martha Stewart, I'm in the bathtub.
Would it have been okay if I was?
Maybe this bathtub is my church.
Yes.
You ever think of that, Martha Stewart?
I'm taking a milk bath.
I can't work with you. This isn't going to work for me. Yeah, I don't think I'd mind getting fired from Martha Stewart. No thanks.
I never thought you were that great anyway.
Well, I
never did.
Yeah,
I've never got it. Never got it. I know you're a big fan.
I have been a big fan.
Just never got it.
This is kind of like how I fell out of love with Gwyneth Paltrow once the whole Goop thing happened, where it's like, what are you doing? Just let people. I don't get this. But also, it takes two to tango here. Why are you picking up the phone if you're in a bathtub? That's how people get electrocuted.
It is. Were you trying to get electrocuted?
I don't understand any of this.
Here's my thought process.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could survive electrocution.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do,
mm-hmm.
I can sue her to the ends of this earth.
I'm going
to
sue 81-year-old Martha Stewart for all the money she's got.
For electrifying me.
If I get electrocuted in a bathtub.
I think I can survive.
Everyone knows I take baths on Sundays. That's my time to bathe.
Sure, I might lose my taste and sense of smell, but it'll be worth it.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
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 It's really hard sometimes when you have friends and they have birthdays.
You have no friends.
Really hard to know what to get someone for their birthday. You know? If it's somebody that you have known for a long time and...
Cash.
Well, that seems so impersonal, though.
Oh, it's not.
Here you go. Here's a little something. There's a guy in Rhode Island who is looking at 4 felony charges.
Because he tried to give a gift to somebody?
Uh-huh. It was the way he went about doing it that resulted in the 4 felony charges. Benjamin Nadrowski, 32 years old, of Tiverton, Rhode Island. He's looking at 4 felony charges after the police say he admitted to breaking into homes to steal sex toys that he planned to give as birthday gifts.
It's very specific.
According to police.
He knew the sex toys were there, or he was just hoping.
I mean, you just have to...
Or he just has to... He assumes everyone's got sex toys.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of finding them. And quite frankly, everyone hides them in the same place.
Yeah, you just look in the dresser drawer. Exactly.
Everyone's got them in the same place.
It was the strangest thing. I came home. All the jewelry in my dresser drawer was on the floor. One item was missing, but I'd rather not get into it. Benjamin Nadrowski,
the Yank,
arraigned before a judge in district court Tuesday morning on 2 counts of entering a building with felonious intent and attempted breaking and entering. Police say that they were dispatched around 10:45 at night. This would have been on Friday, to a home for a report of a suspicious person. The dispatcher told police a person was trying to break in through a window.
I am getting slammed with all these birthdays.
When police arrived, a resident of the home said while he was getting ready for bed, he saw someone standing outside his window on top of a chair trying to get in through the bathroom window.
You can't even wait till I go to sleep.
It's like something a child burglar would do. You had to get a chair to get in through the bathroom window?
I'm not that tall.
Always been a dancer. In court, police reported the resident said he confronted the suspect and told him to leave the property.
Can I help you?
According to the police report, the resident told officers the suspect apologized and said he had the wrong house and left in a white vehicle. The resident described the suspect as being a white male with blonde hair driving a white Kia. About an hour later, this resident saw the same vehicle.
Guess who's back?
In the neighborhood with the doors open. As police approached the scene, they observed a man matching the description of the suspect going through a dumpster with a flashlight in his hands.
Looking for birthday gifts.
Gotta be some sex toys in this dumpster, wouldn't you think? Police reports that a body-worn camera was activated. Nadrowski was arrested and reportedly told police that he had peered into the home that he was trying to break into because he was, his words here, attempting to buy weed, but realized he was at the wrong location when he was confronted by the homeowner. Detectives then asked Nadrowski about 3 other breaking and entering incidents from the week prior. According to a supplemental police narrative, Nadrowski admitted to entering a home and said he stole a sex toy from a bedroom. When questioned further, he told police he broke into a home and stole 2 more sex toys from separate bedrooms. He admitted to attempting to steal a makeup palette from another home, but dropped it when a female tenant confronted him. The police report adds Nadrowski told investigators he was aware that college students would be graduating, and he was in the area to try and retrieve any items that may have been thrown out. He told police he did not steal any items of value from the residents, only the women's sex toys that he and said he intended to give someone as a birthday gift.
It's for you.
Happy birthday.
I
got you some sex toys that I found.
Secondhand.
That I found in some co-eds' apartments and some dumpsters.
You know, it's graduation season.
Oh. That means that they're all going to be throwing away their vibrators. They can't bring those home with them.
No, they're going to start a new life.
Harvest season is here. Due to the felony charges, no plea was entered in court. Judge set bail at $2,500 with surety for breaking and entering charges and $5,000 personal reconnaissance for the attempted breaking and entering charges. Conditions that he not go back to the residences
and he has to complete a mental health screening. I'm going to get a chair, and then I'm going to climb on the chair and through the window like a cartoon character. Yeah, they're all leaving college, and I bet they won't be taking their rabbits home with them. I got this all figured out. And then it's off to Terry's house for the birthday party.
Into the real world.
I can't wait to see the look on his face when I give him all of
this. He is just going to love this.
Happy birthday!
I love this time of year.
Time to go vibrator hunting. Benjamin, how did you know I wanted all of these vibrators?
It's all you talk about.
I hope you didn't spend too much money.
Oh, I didn't. you were talking about how light it is late at night.
Yes.
Which probably doesn't afford you to actually be up when the sun goes down much. Right?
No, usually I'm not.
Have you seen any lightning bugs?
Not yet.
I saw my first ones yesterday.
That's a big deal.
Saw my first one. And at first I thought, wait a minute, that might have been like a tiny stroke, but it wasn't.
When you see your first lightning bug, your first thought is it happening finally?
Yeah, did I just have a TIA? No. I stuck around. No, that was a lightning bug.
That's
a firefly.
That makes me happy. That's one of my favorite things is the first time you see a lightning bug. It's like a real event, you know?
Yeah, put it down for June 7th.
All right. I still haven't seen one, but
you got to stay up later.
Well, I just don't see that happening until...
Well, maybe Friday.
Maybe the weekend. We'll see.
Three.
All right, number three.
Number three.
Number three.
Three.
Three. Three.
I went up to Wisconsin, golf outing that I do with my college buddies every year.
Take it or leave it.
We didn't end up going to take it or leave it. We did end up golfing 18 at a place called Christmas Mountain. Nice course. Really nice course.
Now, did they have, at the tee box?
No.
Little Santa Clauses for the...
No. It wasn't as Christmas-themed as you would think. But it was Memorial Day weekend, so...
Yeah, okay.
Like, they had a Christmas tree up in the... And the 19th hole lounge.
But that's about it.
That was about it. But it was a nice course. It was nice and spread out. You weren't on top of people, you know. Sometimes when you're golfing on Memorial Day weekend, it's like everybody, and the weather's as nice as it was this year. Everyone's just on top of you.
And how many guys did you have golfing?
Oh, it ended up being 8 of us.
2 groups of 4?
Yeah. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was just wonderful.
Were you firing upon each other? I guess only one group can do that.
No, that didn't.
You always want to be the second group.
It is ideal, yes. I had this thought, though, as I was traversing across Wisconsin trying to find this Airbnb that we rented up there in the Dells. I was using my phone, as all of us do when you're trying to go somewhere you've never been before. You put the address in your phone, and then the lady inside the phone says, turn left, turn right, merge.
I got in trouble for that one time.
Oh, tell me that story.
Well, no, I was just leaving a football game up in Elmhurst, and that's what I was doing, using my phone to get back up, you know. Okay, how do I get back on the interstate and get out of here? Once I get on the interstate, I know my way.
Right.
I know my way home.
So how'd you get in trouble?
Because a police officer
You were holding the phone.
I was holding the phone.
Right. They're weird about that in Illinois, aren't they? So, and by weird, I mean appropriately weird. Put the phone down.
Yeah.
I had it plugged into my Bluetooth. So I was, you know, rocking out to my jams and listening to the lady every once in a while say, you know, Siri would say, turn left here. In a mile, turn right. It was great. It's wonderful. We're all old enough to remember when that was not something that was available to us. When you were doing a road trip back in the day.
You brought a map.
You'd get a map. Or you'd look at the big giant atlas that was at your folks' house.
After the map for a period, you could print out the directions.
MapQuest was a big deal.
Yeah.
That was a game changer.
Look at this.
Because before that, like if you were calling somebody that lived far away, you'd say, how do I get there? And you'd write the directions down on the back of an envelope. They might give you the directions over the phone. But MapQuest, once that came, and you could just print it
and it had all the instructions printed out. It was like, well, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
I wonder if we've lost something, if we've lost the ability to navigate without computers telling us where to go.
I would say yes.
We have, right? I mean, where do you even find maps? That used to be like 50% of what gas stations sold.
Oh, yeah. If you're
maps.
If you're someone who's selling maps.
The map business has had it tough, Daddy. A computer took your job, Daddy.
It's been tough for a little while.
Odd times in the map business. Story of a 60-year-old man who was arrested after he took a wrong turn and ended up at the Canadian border. And the problem with that was this guy had a large quantity of cannabis and more than $600,000 in his car.
Yeah.
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police here saying that Andrew Lee Toppenberg was only following GPS coordinates that were entered incorrectly when he mistakenly ended up in the border lineup at Canada's Rainbow Bridge. That's the crossing over there in Niagara Falls. And by the way, I want you to know this. When you're at Niagara Falls, as long as I'm here, nobody goes over the falls in a barrel. Yes, Andrew Lee Toppenberg of Tustin, California, was subject to an inspection because he didn't have his passport. Why would he have his passport? He had no desire to go to Canada.
But you got to plug in the right address.
What have I done? Yeah, Canadian border officials say they found 181 kilograms or about 400 pounds of cannabis.
Did he realize he was at the border?
I mean, I should think there would be signs that would say, hey,
I'm sure it does.
You're about to leave America, right?
But this doesn't make any sense. I didn't.
The lady in the phone's telling me this is where I'm supposed to go. 400 pounds of cannabis says a value here of like $279,000. The cannabis, it says valued from anywhere from $269,000 to $539,000. They also found more than $600,000 cash in the vehicle.
Cash.
The drugs and money were located throughout the car with the cannabis in vacuum-packed containers and the cash separated into bundles that were concealed in a suitcase, a lockable case, and a safe. Driving around with a safe. He's got 600 grand on him and 400 pounds of marijuana. Police say the packaging looked like the sort of containers drug dealers or money launderers use, which led them into issuing charges against this Toppenberg on suspicion of the possession and import of cannabis. Also possession of more than $5,000, knowing that all or parts of the proceeds were obtained by a crime. You can't bring more than $5,000 in cash into Canada. They're not interested in that.
Okay.
It's a little... You're only, buddy, $595,000 over the limit. He ended up appearing at an Ontario court earlier this week and remains in custody. The director of the Niagara District of Operation for Canada's Border Services says here, they're proud of the diligence shown by our officers. Their hard work has a profound impact on continually ensuring public safety at our borders. This guy wasn't trying to bring anything into your borders.
Wait a minute. Listen, it wasn't that hard. He drove up to the border.
Yeah, I don't know that you should be really.
I mean,
We got him.
How'd you get him? Well, he just pulled up right next to
He pulled right up to the inspection zone. With a very confused look on his face.
Yeah, this was no... grand stakeout.
Yeah, before you go hoisting the Stanley Cup over your head there, Dudley Do-Right, this idiot.
Who caught him? A kid that works weekends. He just started.
Four.
Interesting story of somebody retiring. Not from their job, as they're only 32 years old. Kyle Gordy is 32, and he's announcing that he's retiring as a sperm donor. After 65 kids, I'm retiring as a sperm donor, he says, so I can find true love.
The serial sperm donor.
Is an announcement necessary?
You took out an ad in the paper. Sired dozens of children and announcing now that he's quitting so he can find love. Believed to be the biological father of at least 65 kids.
Now, how does that work? That I would think that you just make the donation and then that's it.
Well, yeah, that's how I think things are supposed to work.
They tell you that you've got that you know, some sort of insemination was successful.
What this guy did was not donate at a bank.
Oh, okay.
He is the biological father of 65 kids after offering his seed up free of charge to families desperate to have children. You're not even getting paid, bro. What are you doing? He's often inundated with messages from women on Instagram who want to have his child. Now he says he's going to shift his focus on finding a meaningful relationship. He runs a website that's called Be Pregnant Now.
Oh, God.
He says, I want a relationship with someone, and that's the most important thing for me at the moment. I'm going to stop donating, he says, except for a select few. I won't be helping so often, as I need to look at building that meaningful connection with someone who likes me for me. It's okay for people to contact me if they'd like a relationship, but where donating is concerned, I'll only be helping those who really want a baby. Well,
what have you been doing?
You know.
I guess having a baby be okay.
He says he was in a relationship recently with one of the people he donated to, but sadly 2 months later their love affair ended. He says this woman just couldn't accept the fact that I was still donating and said it wouldn't work long term.
He was constantly donating.
That's all you do. And you're not bringing any money in. Quote, I need to find someone special who can accept me for what I have done in the past, but I don't want to get in the way anymore. Maybe in a few months, if I don't find someone, I'll be my old self.
Oh, it might take more than a few months.
But if I do find someone, he says here, quote, I'll reevaluate my hobby entirely. If my girlfriend only wants me to donate once or twice a month, or perhaps even pick the people I donate to, then I need to have a long discussion with them about my situation.
Now off to the Hobby Lobby, as I like to call it.
I'll agree to certain rules and make sacrifices for the right woman who I can make a wife, he says. Kyle has another 7 children on the way. And he hopes,
how does he know that?
He hopes to shift his focus to traveling to countries he's never been before. He says he now prefers traveling over donating, and he views this practice of sperm donation as a real chore. It's not even fun anymore, man.
I gotta get up before daybreak.
Quote, I don't have a sex life outside of donating. It's completely non-existent. As one of the reasons I don't go out and have sex is because I want to save it up and give the best possible chance of pregnancy. Before, I used to date and have sex, but I chose to give this up to help other women and their families. I prefer traveling, and that, alongside finding a girlfriend, are now my main hobbies.
I'd rather go swimming.
I'm going to focus. I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me. I'm going to focus on traveling and talking with my girlfriend, and if she's cool with it, maybe I'll continue this hobby that I have. Wow. You have to have a lawyer, right? Like, there has to be some paperwork where it's like, look, I'll help you get this thing started.
Yeah, I don't.
But then I have no obligations, right?
Well,
is that how that would work?
I wouldn't think you would just go willy-nilly.
Yeah, because paying paternity to 65 different people,
ugh.
I don't know how that would work. If you're doing child support to 65 different people,
you would think that would break you.
Shaw! Yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, hobbies are important, but...
How about woodworking? Well, I guess that's what he's doing.
Consider yourself zing.
The zing of the day.
Number five.
Number five.
When you've had occasion to quit a job, when you've said, I'm no longer going to be working here.
Yes.
Has that ever been awkward for you? Has that ever been something that you've had any misgivings about or felt like nervous about telling someone that you were leaving?
No.
Yeah, I'll just speak from my own experience. Every job I've ever stopped doing, I was really looking forward to telling them that I wasn't going to be doing it anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't. No.
In fact, it's kind of like a fantasy fulfillment in a way. When you go, listen, I've got something else that I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to be doing this anymore.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on the team. Yeah. And I want to make sure that things go as smoothly as they can in the limited time you have to enjoy me. But I am out of here.
Now, the only time, because I never had everything, I didn't burn any bridges.
Right.
Although my very first job when I was, I don't know that I was even 16 yet, was at the golf course.
Yeah.
And I remember at that point where I was like, I'm done with this. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I remember the golf pro being like, what? What? You begged for this job. Begged?
See,
you're talking about begged.
That's it. Like, sometimes when you say you're not working there anymore, they take it personally.
Well, and the thing about it was, they didn't need me that much.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I know, you know, I was killing it for $2.25 an hour. I don't think this is even legal, what's going on here. I should look. What was the minimum wage back in 1980?
$2.25 sounds about right. Well, you get tips at the golf course, right?
Oh, there are no tips.
Well, that's why you're able to give away hot dogs and whatnot.
I did.
I guess in Japan, where the culture is different than here, obviously, there is a lot of anxiety about quitting your job.
Oh.
To the point where...
It's driving people... What, people will take their own lives as opposed to...
No. Nothing as dramatic as that.
Oh, okay.
But there are services where you can hire someone to quit your job for
you. No, Larry will do that.
We kind of did come up with that, didn't we?
Yeah, not only will Larry quit your job, he'll also break up with somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Story here out of Japan. Character's name is Toshiyuki Nino. Wanted to quit a job he was unhappy at for years. Mm-hmm. And then found himself struggling to work up the courage to confront his boss. If you're unhappy at your job, quitting your job, that's like a moment you want to live in forever.
Oh, you want to cherish that.
That's a fantasy come to life. After working at several other Japanese workplaces, Nino knew that his decision would face resistance. He says,
is it necessary that we say Japanese workplaces when he's Japanese and he lives in Japan?
Well, I'm just trying to set the stage. He says, when you quit a job here in Japan, your Japanese boss will lay a Japanese guilt trip on you.
Okay, so they're not going to make it easy on you.
No, I guess they don't over there. He says, quote, they try to make you ashamed and guilty that you quit your job. I was there less than 3 years, and they were not happy with that. He says, I had a very difficult time. That experience gave his childhood friend, Yuichiro Ozaki, an idea.
Mm-hmm.
What if you could avoid the whole ordeal of quitting your job by getting someone else to do it for you? So he
Hello, Larry.
I know. This is exactly what we had Larry doing years ago. Maybe our problem was we were pitching this to the wrong demographic.
Raji.
Because as Americans, we love to quit our job.
Hello, Ted. You know, Tom.
Hello, could I speak to Mr.
Tom Jones? Anyway.
Is Mr. Ozaka home? It's Larry's son.
It's Larry's son. He quit.
He started this this company called Exit that handles the awkward business of handing in your notice on behalf of Japanese employees who are either too ashamed or too embarrassed to do it themselves. You give him 20,000 yen, which works out to about $144, and this company will contact your employer to inform them of your decision to quit.
Oh, Larry was going to do it for a lot less than that.
Allowing the employee to avoid any anxiety-inducing confrontation with their superiors.
Hmm. Yeah, but what if you're giving someone 2 weeks' notice?
Mm-hmm. What if you are? We're letting you know that this employee of yours will be gone in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but then you still got to show up.
Yeah, but come on. It is what it is. If you have any questions, contact my professional quitter. He's the guy you talk to.
Yeah, talk to him.
They say since this company started in 2017, the business model has been adopted by about 24 other companies.
Really?
It is a niche industry of, they call it resignation outsourcing.
Yeah, we had a good idea.
We had a goal. We certainly had it before 2017.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Most of the clients, they say, are men in their 20s, and they get 10,000 inquiries a year.
You know what happened when the powers that be found out about our idea? They let us go. That is a good idea. You're gone. We're going to make up some baloney story as to why.
$1.4 million a year in revenue, and all you have to do is quit people's job. Quitting a job is like, that's my favorite part of having a job, is quitting the job, if I'm being honest.
It's like Xanadu.
Here's the thing. I am not going to be doing this anymore. I've got something else that I'm going to be doing. That's just the best.
Pretty good.
They say the two major reasons that they get clients, these people are scared of their boss, so they can't say they want to quit, and they also feel guilty for feeling that they want to quit. I've never once, any job that I've quit, had an ounce of guilt. And if you, I will say every job that I've ever quit, I've liked the people I worked with and for. But if I had a boss that was a jerk, oh, would I love to quit that job.
Well, and like I said, that first job that I quit,
yeah,
it was seasonal work.
But he was trying to make you feel guilty a little bit, sounds like. You begged for this job.
Begged?
Mm-hmm.
What?
When I started my career a million years ago up in Dubuque, my radio career, and then I got the job to come down here in 1995, I gave my 2 weeks' notice. I wanted to make sure I didn't burn any bridges. I said, hey, I've got an opportunity, and there's this alternative station, new alternative station in the Quad Cities. I'm gonna go down there. Huh? And the thing about what we do for a living is, people leave all the time to go to other markets. It's not unheard of.
Yeah.
And this jackhole that I was working with was like, really? You're going to leave now? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, as much as I'd love to stay here and play the Tri-State's hottest hits, this is not what I have dreamed of, right? So I gave the 2 weeks' notice. I would go between here and there and every day for 2 weeks to make sure that they weren't shorthanded and everything.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Just to make sure that I got, you know, like you said, I didn't want to burn any bridges. Yeah. Then I find out this guy, as soon as I was gone, would tell anybody who would listen, it's a good thing Lavora handed in his 2 weeks' notice because I was going to fire him.
Oh, were you?
Were you, tough guy?
And then there were posters up. Have you seen this guy?
That's a different story. You're conflating two different bad experiences that I had in Dubuque.
Oh, that's right. That was a girlfriend.
Japan, lifetime employment has been the norm. Mm. For most of the 20th century, once you got a job, that's your job.
Oh, boy.
They've been known for having a punishing work culture that encourages both long hours and lengthy service. That's starting to change. They have a word called karyoshi. That's a term that they started in the 70s. Karoshi is death from overwork. And it's officially recognized as the cause of hundreds of deaths. People dying from suicide and cardiovascular disease because they work too hard. But this idea of lifetime employment, this traditional system of you get one job and that's your job for the rest of your life, that's starting to weaken. Japanese workers still change companies far less often than we do here. But it's still, I mean, it's kind of built into the culture.
Sure.
2019, the average length of service at a Japanese company was 12 and a half years. Japan also has the third highest wage premium for working continuously at the same company for at least 20 years. I mean, I guess if they're going to take care of you and keep giving you more money.
There's a reason to stay,
I guess. Yeah, that would work. But yeah, this idea of hiring somebody to do the thing that, again, I'll only speak for myself. It's one of my favorite parts of working is telling somebody I'm not going to work there anymore.
It's the only reason to get a job.
Don't get used to this face, because it's going to be in another place.
Have you seen this face?
Ace. You can go ahead and start your sobbing now, because I'm out the door. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya, but I will be ya for another 2 weeks. Or if you're deciding, I've had once or twice where they've decided, like, we'll need you for a day or two. We don't need 2 weeks. Like, that's great. Terrific. Let's agree to agree.
Tony, no.
This isn't working out.
I'm leaving Turnstile. Why? Because I'm a kid.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things.
You never do. You never do.
Thanks for listening to it, downloading it, subscribing to it, telling your friends how much you enjoy it. All of that is so greatly appreciated. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, you kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
That does it. Out you two pixies go, through the door or out the window.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.